And that's a massive thing for your own personal life as well as scouting. Knowing that things are going to go wrong, things that are out of your control. But you could be that one that goes, you know what, I'm just going to walk away and what, say la vie or whatever, you know. But I was never going
to
get...
So, hello and welcome to another episode of Scouts Doing Scouty Stuff, the Scouts podcast by Scouts, for Scouts and the wider Scouting community. Today we have a very special guest, Mr. Mark Yates, also known as Big Man in the Woods, or as has been over lockdown, Big Man in the Shed. Hello, Mark.
Hey guys, how are we doing?
Hi.
Hello.
Good. Yeah, we've been doing good, surviving at least.
I mean, as well as we can do, really.
That's good to hear.
So, obviously, we've invited you here today to be grilled by our three scouts about anything to do with scouting and just a general chit-chat more than anything.
Cool.
But first, just give us a bit of background about your vlog, Big Man in the Woods.
Okay. I started as a podcast, believe it or not, about 6-7 years ago. One of my many jobs that I've done in the past, I used to work on professional radio. So I was a radio host for many radio stations, such as Capital and Heart FM, lots in London. Audio was my kind of background. So I decided I was going to start doing a podcast called Big Man in the Woods. And it was all about my adventures in camping and scouting and stuff like that. But then a company got hold of me and asked if I could start promoting their goods, which was fine, which is good. But they wanted a bit more visual. So I went down the YouTube route and I was YouTubing, I was blogging, so writing and vlogging all at the same time, as well as having a full-time job in the hospital and my family. And it just got way too much. So I decided what was more fun was vlogging, so in front of the camera. So that was about, what was that? 6 years ago I started. And YouTube has been about the last 4 years. And it's all about scouts, what I do in scouts, and my kids trying to get them out camping. And if they don't, let's do some stuff in the garden. And it's just to try and encourage anyone to get out and enjoy camping and kind of Mother Nature. But it kind of has steered really whole down to scouting, what makes a good scout leader, and what it makes a good young person, and skills, knowledge, and it's been a massive learning curve for me over the last year. You know, in lockdown I decided I was going to start vlogging live every Thursday. I was going to do a scout session, which was a disaster, absolute disaster. Many reasons. I sadly bought the cheapest software, so sometimes buying cheap isn't always the best. If you buy cheap, you buy twice, and that's what happened to me. So my internet was crashed. I had guests on who couldn't log in. My webcam would freeze and stutter. And it was a disaster. And it kind of nearly messed my Big Man in the Woods brand. I went off in a sulk, did some research, and I found another bit of software, which I've been using for the past kind of 6-7 months. And it's been amazing. It's been great. What's been great is in the background here is my shed. Right, so I've been trying to get electricity down to my shed for, 5-6 years. My wife has always been, no. But this thing called resilience, if you never give up, it's Bear Grylls' favorite catchphrase, never give up, you'll get what you want. So I've got an awesome live stream now that I do every week. I've got power and electricity, cable internet into my shed. And it's all to do with this skill that I learned in scouting called resilience. So when things go wrong, you can easily quit and just walk away. But with resilience, it's about what went wrong and how can I improve it and what can I make it better? Yeah. And that's a massive thing for your own personal life as well as scouting. Knowing that things are going to go wrong, things that are out of your control. But you could be that one that goes, you know what, I'm just going to walk away and what, say la vie or whatever, you know. But I was never going to get. So I was trying to look for new software. How can I make this a better thing? How can I improve it? And with a bit of research, here I am now. So through scouting, this weird thing, resilience, and you know, I use it day to day in work, with my family, with my kids, when we're arguing, about putting toys away. I could just walk away. I'm like, no, I'm going to stand my ground. And sometimes I win my battles. Sometimes I lose them. But I think a skill that we all learn as scouts is resilience. Never give up. Trying to do your best. Trying to improve. And if it goes wrong, you get knocked down, get back up again and try and work out what went wrong and how you can improve it. And that's a skill that I learned during lockdown about the whole vlogging. It went wrong. How can I make it better? I could give up, but I didn't. So a bit of research and here I am. I've got this amazing studio that I'm working on now. And I spend hours down here now. I've got internet. I've got heating. All I need now is running toilet and I can have a constant supply of tea. I'm happy. That was a really good answer.
That's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. So, guys, take it away.
Yeah, sounds like you've had a really good sort of background and, like, coming into scouting and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you answer this? What sort of made you sort of get into the putting it online?
Good question. I don't know the answer. I don't know. I think sometimes there's just stuff, there's information out there, right? And when you know this, I don't want to quote Trump, but I'll use his fake news. And there's loads of stuff out online that's not true about scouting. There's loads of stuff. And people who might have been involved in scouting years ago or never been involved in scouting and that just finds in press. And they put stuff online and then the general public start thinking that's the way what scout is all about. And I was like, you know what? That's not what we get up to. It's not all about knots. You know how many knots I can tie?
Yeah.
How many knots can I tie?
Three.
Not many. Lot.
Probably.
Don't know.
One knot. Do you know what that knot is?
Reef knot.
Oh, yeah, that's two. I forgot the reef knot. I used that word. Mm. A granny knot. I'm a scout and I can't do no knots.
Yeah.
So it's not all about knots and map reading and whatever is it. You know, scouts do loads and loads of stuff. Like, I'm lucky that Sky Studios is not far from our scout hut. So we go down there and we use their studios to record our own pretend TV programs and stuff. And I wanted to get out into the general public that scouting isn't this kind of geeky thing what it's all about. And these are the skills that we're doing. These are the trips that we're doing. And it's kind of just that, to spread the knowledge that this is what we do in scouts.
Yeah, so spread the truth, essentially.
More or less. You're right there, Andrew. And yeah, it's just, it's nice to just give back, because there's some people that just can't get into scouts for, you know, the waiting list and a whole lot of other stuff. So let's give it an avenue online, and you never know what's going to happen. So yeah, just spread the word of scouts.
Yeah, thanks for that.
So who would you say that your YouTube channel is mainly aimed at? Because, I mean, you've said it's to get the word out, but what is the real purpose of it? What do you intend to do with it?
Now, it's kind of one of those journeys that have been twisting and turning and stuff. And my number one person is a scout leader, but it's kind of fairly new to scouts and not sure what scouts is all about and what you need to learn. And I'm also, I do quite a lot of stuff with Gilwell, so I kind of have some things that I know what's going on in the background, and they're getting a lot of adult volunteers that aren't through scouting. So my new kind of avenue that I'm going to be doing very soon is doing vlogs for new adult volunteers who know nothing about scouts. So how do you volunteer? How do you become a scout leader? What's the training process and stuff? So my channel is mainly to do with for adults. I have been thinking about doing it for more younger people. Might have to set up a new channel or something for them. But yeah, so my channel is mainly for scout leaders.
I mean, getting young people into this would all be really good, because increasing the number of scouts, nothing really bad can happen.
That's the flip side of the coin, isn't it? Do we get loads of young people into scouting, which is amazing, and that's what scouting is about. But the flip coin of that is you're going to increase the waiting list.
And yeah.
A lot of volunteers, we need leaders, and that's why there's no national scout advertisements on newspapers or televisions and stuff like that, because there'll be a massive influx of young people.
Yeah.
And not enough for leaders, and that's a problem in the whole of the UK, probably around the world, is just trying to get adult volunteers, because young people will come. They will definitely come. We've got massive waiting lists. Your leaders will tell you the same. You know, there's always a waiting list, but it's trying to get adults to come and take you out on trips and look after you every week and things like that. So it's a real 50-50. It's really hard.
Yeah, it's definitely about the ratio.
Absolutely.
Oscar?
I'll take this one if you don't mind. So you said you've mentioned Bear Grylls in there about his catchphrase.
Never give up.
Have you met him? What's he like?
I get asked this a lot. I do know Bear. I've met him quite well. I've got stuff in the background down there. Not that you can see it on the podcast, but guys on the webcam can see some autographed bits and pieces. I haven't met Bear. Bear's a really nice guy. And the cool thing about Bear, he's very family orientated, which I really like. And I'm trying to look up to that's who I really want to be. You know, his family come first and then his kids and stuff. And he's a genuine guy. You know, he's not all about eating grubs and yucky stuff. You know, that's kind of one of his trademarks. But I think Bear's is an awesome guy, and you're always going to get negativity in any kind of way. Whoever it's going to be, they're always going to moan about, oh, you know, Bear's this, Bear's that.
Yeah, and anything you do, you get negativity, no matter what it is, no matter who it's aimed at.
Yep, and it's how you deal with it as well, that negativity. And even me as a YouTuber, you get people complaining and saying this and that stuff. But hey, it is what it is, you know, and you learn just to brush it off and try not to take those things to heart.
Yeah,
I think Bear is a cool, different way why he is the Chief Scout. So one, lots of young people know who he is. Either they might not know him as Man versus Wild, the stuff they've done on TV, but they've read his books and his kids' books and stuff. And then you've got dads who inspire to be Bear Grylls, who want to be that, go and hack it in a forest or whatever. And then you've got mums who are like, "Ooh, we like Bear Grylls." So Bear, like, for PR, they've done well. But, you know, and he keeps coming back as the Chief Scout because he's inspired and brought so many people into scouting. But yeah, my mates ripped the mickey out of me with my man crush with Bear. But hey, whatever.
So during the lockdown, what would you say is the biggest change that you've had to face so far? And how have you adapted to that?
That's a tough question, because during lockdown, I was working in the hospital for all of it. I had a couple of weeks off right at the beginning of lockdown, and I spent that with my kids, and they drove me crazy. So I was desperate to get back to work. But I think it's what I was talking about earlier on about resilience. I keep banging on about it, but I learned so many things. Like, you could just quit and give up, and, you know, during lockdown, you could just sulk around, sit around and do nothing. But thankfully I was at work, but I had a lot of time off during the weekends and stuff, and just simple tasks around the house didn't go to plan, you know, those DIY projects and stuff failed or whatever. So just trying to pick myself up and kind of go, you know what, it's okay if things to go wrong, but let's try and fix them again. So I've kind of had a different experience of lockdown compared to other people because of my day job in the hospital. So yeah, I've seen some sights, but yeah, resilience would have been the skill that I kind of really worked on.
Yeah, resilience, big thing. Like, you can't really go through life without it. And I think it goes more in scouts. But anyway, Felix, do you want to take a question?
Did anyone inspire you to do Cubs? Scouts.
Yeah, do you know, this is the most weirdest story, Felix, because when I was told this, it didn't really sink in. So as I said, I was never a scout. Well, Beavers, Cubs or Scouts as a young person at all, apart from those 4 weeks. And I was in operating theatre working with another doctor, and she was telling me about her kids that they've recently joined Cubs. And she knew I like to mess around in the outdoors and go walking and stuff like that. But she was like, you'll make an awesome scout leader. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. didn't really know much about scouts.
Yeah, just brushed it off.
Exactly, exactly. And then about 10 years later, when I moved to London and I didn't know anybody, this kind of conversation re-popped into my head about joining scouts and giving something back to the young people. And then I kind of realized, actually, you can, as an adult, you can make adult friends. And that's the person who inspired me to get into scouting. And I still talk to that doctor to this day, and we bring it up every now and then. Do you remember that random conversation we had at work? Look where I am now. So, yeah, it's not an answer that most people expect, but, yeah, a working colleague.
Yeah, wow. Big thing from just a colleague. Like, you'd probably expect it to be, like, kids or a family member, someone probably closer to you.
And none of my family are in scouting. My wife or my mother are going to get bored after scouts. We'll give you 6 months. And now we're coming up to nearly 15 years later, and I'm still doing scouts, and I'm going around the UK training scout leaders and young people. It's a really good journey. And that's the cool thing of scouts, you know. You can make friends around the world, you know. And during lockdown, I've been doing lots of these vlogs and sessions and stuff, and I've been talking to leaders in the other side of the world. My kids have joined me when we spoke to some scouts in Australia, and it was during the summer when it was boiling hot here, and there it was freezing cold. It was at nighttime there, scouts, but it was kind of lunchtime here, and my kids couldn't work out how come it's dark there and light here. So then I had to kind of teach them about the world, and they didn't know that. So
yeah,
meeting so many people around the world, and we have a one connection, which is scouts, and it's amazing, like the friendships you can struck up, and you never know who you're going to meet. And you know, and if you make your friends now in scouts and your patrols and stuff, they're your friends for life, guarantee you. And my closest friends are all scout leaders, people that you can trust, you know, you can rely on, and that's the cool thing about scouts.
Yeah, you're a very inspirational person. Did you know that?
Oh, thanks, Andrew. You're making me blush.
Not too much.
But I think, you know, I was talking about this. In fact, I was doing a vlog about this last night, about it's not all positive, you know, and that's the thing about social media. And I've changed some of my style on my vlog. I did one about a year ago where I wanted to quit scouts as a scout leader. And, you know, you guys watching me now, you're kind of, you didn't know the background, what do to prep your scout program or whatever. We don't just rock up on a Thursday night 5 minutes before my 7:30 session and kind of go, right, scouts, tonight we're going to do whatever. There's a lot of prep that goes behind your planning meetings, yeah? And on this particular session, I can't remember what it was, but my scouts were just annoying. Everything I planned, they didn't want to do. They argued back. Everything. And I spent absolutely hours planning and prepping. It was amazing. Well, to me, it was amazing. It was going to be a really good session, but I don't know what happened, but they just didn't want to do it. And I said, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah, sounds like scouts. And this is where you're saying about resilience comes in, because you've really got to be resilient to deal with this.
You do, but when you're sometimes struggling, you don't always think about these things, right? So I go into my car, and I'm like, you know, I am fuming, furious. And I knew it wasn't the right time to drive. Something might have happened, because I was so wound up and so angry. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to vent this on my vlog. And I record it in my car. Actually, yeah. I feel much better. And it felt good just to get it out. And then people kind of started messaging me going, it's so nice to see you actually not being positive all the time and saying the truth about scouts, that there are really bad days that scouts will just wind you up. You know, whatever reason, you've had a bad day at work or whatever. My wife's moaning at me. I'm spending too many weekends camping. I've got too much camping equipment in my shed and stuff like that. And it's just trying to be open and honest to kind of go, you know what? It's okay to feel down and it's okay to feel bad. And I think we need to be a bit more open about our feelings rather than just going, you know what? Life is amazing. It's fantastic. And I think that's one of the things I'm going down on my YouTube channel, is trying to be a bit more honest and open about scouting, that there are days and dark days.
Yeah. On a positive note, what's your favourite camping experience that you've ever had?
Oh, man. There's quite a few, and it depends what day you ask me. But I think, like, all the scout leaders you'll say, they're probably the thing is about meeting one scout who is absolutely petrified of something. So it could be heights. You know, they want to go down the zip line. They've seen the other scout, wherever it's going down, and you can tell they want to do it. But the voice in their head is stopping them, and that's all it is it's a voice.
Yeah.
And just trying to coach that young person through. And I remember you know what? You are going up that tree, whether you like it, whether I have to hoist you up, you're going to go down that zip line. And I remember him flying down it, and he was crying all the way down. I was like, oh God, I made the wrong decision. I really messed this up. Went down to the end, and he was like, I want to do it again. That was amazing. Thank you very much. And he was buzzing. But I could have just given up and going, you know what? All right, you're scared. Let's move on. And it's things like that. It's just seeing young people have these opportunities that maybe it's not about that they might not have had. It's about just breaking those challenges, their personal, whether it's heights or whatever. Like, for me, I'm shaking now just talking about it. It's spiders and snakes, right? It's something I'm going to do it. They were at a scouting event. They had a reptile zoo there, and was like, you know, I'm going to go and touch the snake. I'm going to touch the snake. I'm going to touch the snake. No, I'm not going to touch the snake. And then pegged it away. But if someone maybe coached me into it, like another scout leader, I might have touched it. But it's things like that, you know, just seeing really good people coming out on the other side thinking, actually, that was worth it. I'm loving that buzz. But Andrew, if you ask me another, like next week, I might have another story for you. Because I have
cool
stories, you know, lots of those experiences and stuff.
Yeah, wow. Lots about resilience. Just repeating this. It's like ingraining it into us. I definitely think that that's a good thing, a good quality in a scout leader. Like,
but talking about resilience, would you say it's any way comparable to stubbornness, or are they two completely separate entities?
If you ask my wife, then she'll definitely say I'm stubborn. I think resilience is about sometimes just appreciating it is going to go wrong.
Yeah.
And just saying, you know what, whatever, it's going to go wrong, and just admit that. It's just the way it is. Whereas stubborn, you're not going to say no, are you? You're going to try and keep continuing.
You're going to fight back.
Yeah. Whereas resilience is, it's kind of fighting back, but in a
fighting for a cause.
Yeah, it's in a positive way. It's not like, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm uncertain about this, but I'm going to do it.
But believe me, I'm not like that 24/7.
Yeah.
There are some days where you're just kind of like, you know what? I'm human. You know? I have bad days. I have good days. And I was talking about it last night, just to another scout leader. On Monday, I had just a horrible day. Everything you can imagine went wrong. And in the hospital environment where I work, there's an allergy called, you know, Swiss cheese, you know, the holes in it, right? So if you line up 10 of those slices, sometimes but those holes don't all line up at the same time. But one time, those holes are going to line up. You're going to get a perfect arrow through those things. And that's when things go wrong. And on Monday, that's what happened to me. Every single thing you think could happen went absolutely wrong. And, you know, I got home and I was like to my wife, you know what, I'm not having dinner. I'm going straight to bed because that's the best place to be. And just have a sleep it off and have a good night's sleep. Because sometimes you can sit there and sulk around, you know. What happened was when I got home, I went on social media. And that's a really bad thing to do.
Yeah.
I posted on Facebook about COVID and how many people are anti-COVID and this is stupid. COVID does exist. I started ranting on my own page, and then I went on a scout leader's page and someone posted something really bad on there. I replied, so bad. This is disgusting. Blah, blah, blah. I got into an argument on social media. Well, you know what? I've got to go to bed.
Yeah, best thing is
to put it all in the armchair. Like, just ask someone, well, I'm going to bed.
Start a new, just turn over the leaf. Just
refresh
yourself.
What was that all about? That was just crazy. At that time, I was so down. Everything went bad. And I was like, And sometimes it is best just to go, you know what, let's go to bed.
So, Mark, you were saying, like, you work in a hospital, so you've worked all the way through the pandemic, all the way through lockdown, you've only had a couple of weeks off. I'm in the same boat as you. I've worked all the way through lockdown with what I do for a living.
Yep.
How have you managed to sort of separate that and just think, it's another day, I'll get over it, I'll go and do the same tomorrow, and just rock on with it all the time? How have you managed that?
It's really hard to explain, honestly, guys. But it's about... This sounds really weird, right? It sounds weird, but I'll be honest with you. So when I go to work, I work in an operating theatre. And I wear scrubs. You know what I'm talking about, scrubs? You've seen it all on television, you know, those kind of blue pyjamas. So when I go to my locker, I take my coat off, my clothes, put it in my locker, and that's one mark that I lock away in that locker. When I put my scrubs on, I become the role that I am at the hospital. And then when I finish my shift, I take my scrubs off, throw them in the cleaning basket, and put my own clothes on, and then I become the person that I am now. So I try and become a different character at work and leave those feelings at work. I try not to bring my home life to work as well. It's a really weird thing to describe unless you know what I'm talking about and you've been in that kind of trade about creating a different character, because I've seen some horrible stuff. You know, I left school when I was 16 and I went straight into hospital 16. So I'm really bad at maths. Nearly, you know, what is it, 20 years, 25 years, I've always worked in the hospital environment, and I've seen nasty things. I've seen gunshot wounds, suicide, like everything you can imagine I've seen. And if I took all those thoughts home, I'd be a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
Something does catch me out, and I do come home crying and I'm upset, whatever, but for me, it was about making a new character and trying to leave those feelings at home. It will really mess your head up. And there are days I've come home and I've just said to my wife, you know what? I just need time on my own. I've seen some nasty stuff. There's some code words that I tell my wife, which she knows I need time away and I don't want to talk about work. And that's how I've been dealing with it. And also talking to people. I have colleagues that I can talk to and openly open about my feelings, you know, saying, actually, I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling down. I need to cry and cry to them and know that they're not going to take the mickey out of you and it's just off your shoulders. Otherwise, those feelings, those voices in your head, they just go round and round and round and round around your head and they just get worse and worse and worse. Sometimes you just need to speak it out. That's kind of how I deal with the stuff I see at work, is just trying to create a different persona. It's not a fake person or anything like that. It's just that those feelings, they don't come out because the stuff you see, you'd be crying and stopping. And yeah, it's a weird thing, medicine.
So it all boils down to resilience and having that separation more than anything, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Excellent. It is about separation. It's a weird one, isn't it? Because it's not a skill that you can pick up a book and read, and it's not something you learn at school or whatever. You just learn it over the few years that life is tough, and sometimes you've got to brush it off and just not listen to those negative thoughts and people nasty to you. Otherwise, you'll just go mental.
So what would you say is the most important thing to bear in mind about scouting and resilience and the core qualities that you really need?
That is a corker of a question. You see, I can't even think of an answer on the spot. So what skills do you think you need? Patience. Definitely need patience. Things aren't going to go your way all the time, whether that's people in your patrols or your leaders. So having patience and just kind of brush it off and just accepting life is going to be like that. That's a real good question. And I can't answer it. I need to write it down and think about that one. Do you remember the whole question?
When we go
through the qualities of a scout.
Qualities of being a scout, yeah.
Because open we'll mic go through the recording, we'll send it to you. We'll write it down, or I'll send it over to you.
Being open-minded and just, yeah, I think sometimes you just, there are going to be people in your patrols, aren't they, that have different skills, different abilities, and it's about trying to make everyone inclusive and trying to all make as a team, because there might be a strong person who is good at voicing their opinion or whatever. That quiet person doesn't want to always be vocal, but they might have a strength in another skill, and it's just trying to work as a team. And that's the whole thing in life as well, isn't it? Like, one of the things about Scouts is learning these skills for life that you can put into practice into other days. So learning teamwork at school as well, you know, and being resilient with your teacher when she's driving you mad and sending that homework. But I think teamwork is a really good thing about being a Scout, isn't it? And, you know, there's the Scout law about being trustworthy and stuff like that. Yeah, I think open-minded being able to kind of go, you know what, let's try, and just trying to trust people as well, isn't it? And just letting other people fail, but then learning from those fails. And even as an adult, I'm trying to learn those skills now. I haven't perfected it at all. Ask my kids. They'll tell you. Oscar, that was a good question, man. That was a really... Ask me another... I like these questions. Come on.
Questions.
All about feelings.
What's that?
Do you think Scouts will have to get any new qualities for the future? I mean, obviously, we're always developing in terms of technology and risks. But do you think the fundamentals of scouting will ever change?
No. We asked this question last night, in fact, another scout leader. And the question was, if we spoke to Baden Powell now, would he still recognize scouting as it is now than when he started? And I think the answer is yes. But it changes, doesn't it? You know, life has to change in evolution and technology. And even in the small period of that I've been in scouting now, it's changed a lot as well, you know. Who would have thought that we'd be doing scouting every week online? And now we've been trying to do that for a few years, and the people have been saying, no, it's not going to work, it's not going to work. And now it's going to be with us now. This is the future of scouting, yeah? It's not going to be every week we're being here, but, you know, as a leader, we might not be able to make it, or you might not be able to make it because of your parents might not be able to get you to the hall or whatever. And you can set up a Zoom camera, you know, webcam, and stream your sessions in the hall back to the people who can't get there. I think technology is going to play a huge part in the future of scouting. I think we're still going to keep our traditions, our old traditions. Camping will still be there, not system. It'll be done all in a different, slight different way. And I think, you know, old badges will come, new badges will come. Who knows the future of scouting? I don't know. You're the future of scouting. You guys asking me the questions. Are you might be the next chief scout. I don't know. You might be our boss. You might be telling Stephen what to do. I don't know.
So we wish.
Steer scouting, isn't it? You know, if you have ideas for background stuff, tell your leaders, and then they can pass it on. If you want to learn new skills or whatever, And as leaders, we learn new skills from you guys. You know, I didn't know this thing called, I forgot what it's called now. What is it? All About Us? Is it About Us? What's the game that everyone's playing?
Among Us.
Among Us, that's it. Well, what? Like, and that's when I'm like, oh man, Mark, you're getting old. Like, because I have no idea what this game is all about. And
you're not that bad, not going to lie.
But I didn't know about these things. So I'm learning skills from you guys, and then I'll be learning on Zoom, going, can anyone tell me how to do whatever? And the scout, oh yeah, Mark, do this. Mark, wow, this is awesome. So you guys are the future of scouting as well. So you can steer it to what you want to do. Because it's easy as a leader to do what's easy for me. So for me to go to scouts, I would do first aid every week. Easy for me. I know it inside out. But the scouts are the kind of like going, Mark, can we do this? Could we try this? So you guys need to tell the leaders what you want to do. And that's the way that scouting will move in the future.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to move because the world is completely changing every day. Something new is coming up. You've always got to be adaptive. So resilient, you could say.
Well, what would you change in scouting then?
I mean, currently, I
think currently at the moment is not the isn't the question.
No, not quite.
But if there's no lock, if it was a not like, what's the new normal? We don't know what the new normal is going to be. But say, let's go back a year ago. That would be enough time, yeah. When we didn't know what was going on and we were oblivious to what was going on. How would you change scouting then? What would you want to do? Is scouting all about camping?
I wouldn't say it is. I'd say it's about learning new skills.
No.
Something new, something that will help you in life, just in future, and helping other people. It's all about help, making sure that people know what to do, how to do it, how to survive on their own.
Because, I mean, scouting is a very old organisation that was more kind of steered towards learning new skills for new children. But as we go on, children need to learn new things because they're growing up in new environments. And
yeah, instead of the old stuff that every generation of scouts has learned, you could learn that as well as, like, stuff to do with technology, like potentially even how to take a computer apart or something like that, because it's a new age. That skill is going to be more required than starting a fire out of a battery at wool.
But then the problem
is... So, this is one of the things I'm really wondering for about starting fire. I've got a whole... My teaching box is all down here about starting fires and stuff, right? And I did this family day out where they were to my campsite, and we would show the parents what scouts get up to. So we show them how to tents up, cook or open fire and stuff like that. And their dads were like, "Mark, can you show us how to light fires?" Mark, I can light fires, but I'll show you how to light a barbecue. Good night. In my house here, I don't have a campfire every weekend. It would be awesome to have a campfire every weekend. But what I currently do quite a lot is have barbecues in the back garden.
Yeah.
I don't buy lighter fuel and stuff like that. It's lighting a fire in a proper way. And that's going to happen to you. Yeah, you can get the bag of light the match on, and I sometimes do that. Shh, don't tell people that. It's cool to like make a barbecue from scratch, and you know, I think you still need to learn those basics. And you're right about learning, you know, computers and stuff like that as well. And that's the thing, as a leader, we need to learn those new skills as well. But I think, do we need to learn about the whole history of scouting, where it came from, and blah, 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 blah? No, we need to know the fundamentals of what scouting is about and the reasons and stuff. But I don't think we need to know the whole history about scouting, whatever. So, it's all about moving with the times, isn't it?
Yep. Basically, going back to being resilient, staying there, staying put, staying as a scouting organization, not being pushed away by new technology.
I think we've got a future leader coming here, haven't we?
I think we have, Mark. I think we have.
Andrew, I think, you know, your leaders will tell you the same. I don't know how open they are with you guys, but I'm quite open with my scouts. That their leaders are very strict in their scouting way. When I took my scouts to Sky Studios and we were going to film a TV studio there, a TV series there, how's that scouting? That's nothing about scouting. Well, actually, it's cool, isn't it? Because a television and they're going behind the scenes and learning X, Y, Z, and they're like, nope, that's not scouting. When I was doing stuff online, they're like, that's not scouting, what's that all about? So they're all going to be those scouts who are like, no, this is tradition, we should be doing this and this and this, and then the other leaders the mold and kind of go, actually, let's go and do this and let's try X, Y, Z. Like, when I was teaching tomahawk throwing to my scouts, and then there was people in this district, which is not good, but then they saw how fun it is, and then you have to open it to the district and stuff. So it's learning new stuff, isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, doing the same thing day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, just comes so boring, and that's when the fun loses it. And what's the point in rocking up to scouts and you're going to do the same thing and you play the same game? you play dodgeball every week. You're like, oh my God, how many more times are you going to play dodgeball? Right. There were new games out there, guys.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Felix, ask me a question, man. Come on, Felix. It doesn't have to be about scouts.
What do you think is the best thing about scouts?
It's a very broad question.
Very broad.
What? Am I allowed to say one answer?
You can say multiple things if you want to.
You could just list the entire everything that you've done with scouts.
That's
bad things, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
For me, right? The reason I joined scouts as a leader is to make adult friends, and I have made amazing friends, and they're not. They're not friends. These are like really close buddies that I know that I can rely on them. So for me, I would probably say number one, for me, like me as Mark, what I've got out of scouting is making some amazing friends and around the world, you know, really good. And people that you can truly call a friend. Yeah, as older you get, you realize that the friends that you have now, some aren't, they're just mates or acquaintances or whatever. And when you're in trouble, you know that those 3 or 4 people you can phone up will always be there. So for me, it was all about making friends and making really good friends. And then, yeah, second would be about learning all those new skills and technology and learning new stuff.
Yeah.
What about you then, Felix?
I think the best thing is how, like, you can learn lots about just like, it's not like just like one certain thing, like kind of thing that you'd learn about. You'll learn about loads of stuff. Even if it's
What have you learned that you never knew before?
I can't really think of something on the spot.
Well, maybe another question is, what have you learned at Scouts that you've used in kind of your day-to-day life? Because we've learned map reading and stuff like that. How many times have you actually practically used map reading in your own life? Probably a handful of times. But there are skills in Scouts that you've learned that you probably don't know that you're using every single day at school. Yeah. And maybe in your family and stuff. And those are the skills, I think, as a leader that you're like, actually, that's awesome when you start realizing that those kind of things are ingrained in you. You know, like the whole teamwork and stuff like that, you know? Working as a team and relying on people. I was going to ask Oscar for another question, but I'm a bit worried it'll be like a big, deep, dark question again.
Yeah, well, I'd say you're in luck then, because I'm blank, unfortunately.
No!
I think not all that he says that.
We're due to finish in about 10 minutes, so I think we are getting on a bit. I mean, we've been talking for nearly an hour.
Wow.
It's been fantastic.
Conversations.
You know, I think it's time to sort of call it quits and say a massive thank you to Mark Yates. He's been an absolute fantastic guest, and I'm sure we'll get him back on the show at some point. Is there anything you want to plug in the show that you want us to put out?
Just the YouTube channel, Big Man in the Woods.
Yeah.
Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. And if you go, I mean, that's awesome. Big Man in the Woods.
Awesome. I will put a link in the description as well. So
awesome. Thank you very much, guys.
So yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Mark.
No worries, guys.
Take care now.
Bye.
Scouts Doing Scouty Stuff is a podcast by Scouts, for Scouts, and the wider Scouting community. You can follow us on Twitter at FirstPodScouts, and it's exactly the same on Facebook. Thanks for listening, and carry on Scouting.